Growing Grace 2018. Every year I preach from the same passage on this day, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And every year on the first Sunday of the new year, I have the same title. But what's the only thing that changes? Is the year. Is that Growing Grace this year? It's Growing Grace 2018. Because we need to be reminded every single year that we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge. Notice the word but. After Peter, who is facing persecution, Peter, who has told the believers, watch out. First Peter is persecution and suffering. Second Peter is false teachers. He says, but you, even though you're going through hardship, even though you're going through struggle, even though you're going through trials, even though false teachers are coming in trying to mess with your mind and teach different things about who Jesus is, he says to them, but you grow in the grace, not works, and knowledge. In other words, know the word of God. Don't go by just feelings, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. That's where we fix our eyes. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and we need to be growing. Growing, growing, growing. Now, I don't know if you guys are able to, but if you look out into our patio and you turn around, you see the trees out there, or if you're watching online, just look out a window and tell me if you can still see one leaf left on the tree. Whenever I see a single leaf hanging from a tree at this time of year, I think of my old nature. And that leaf just will not let go. The winds are going to blow and the rain is going to come, but what's that leaf do? It's just stuck there. And it's kind of like some of the old things in my life. How do I live victoriously in Christ with those old things that cling to me? How do I have victory when my sin just keeps bubbling to the surface over and over again? Well, the one thing that is true about trees is also true about the spiritual life. In the spring, new growth will do what to that stubborn leaf that's hanging there? It will just push it off. That leaf is gone because what will come in its place? A brand new leaf, new growth. If you want to live in Christ to the fullness of what Christ wants you to do, you need to be growing. But it's in the grace, it's his strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to be growing in the grace and the knowledge. You need to allow the Word of God to dwell in you richly. All those are verses from the New Testament. Notice what 1 Peter 5, chapter 10 says. What it's going to say to us is this. Worship-based, scripture-fed prayer always results in God-glorifying, life-changing spiritual growth. Now, let me just see here. There it is right there. After you have suffered a little while, notice this. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Isn't that a great verse? Isn't that a great reminder? That if you are struggling, if you are going through difficulty, if you want to grow, the God of all grace. What kind of grace? Well, there's saving grace. That is the grace that we use when we call out to Christ. That's the grace by which we're saved. You're saved by grace through faith. That God offers to you salvation, and he offers to you the way of salvation. So there's saving grace. Number two would be sustaining grace. That's the grace to help you to handle pressure, to handle temptation. The third one would be strengthening grace. That's the grace that works in you and makes you grow spiritually. And then there is the suffering grace to handle persecution, to handle disagreement and hurts. God's grace, he's the God of all grace, and notice this, he himself will restore. Have you not been living as strongly as you should? He can restore you. Confirm, are you having doubts? God will confirm you. Strengthen. Pray to God. Every sermon you hear should, Lord willing, end with an opportunity for you to say, I can't do this in my own strength, God. So, Father in heaven, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you to do it through me because of your grace. And then notice establish. If there's something we need to do as a church in the Bay Area, it's to be established. The idea of establish is the idea of standing firm, of having a foundation that doesn't move, that isn't unsettled. Some of the things that strike against faith in this valley is materialism. I have so much money that I don't need God. Well, you need to be firm in your faith. I'm surrounded by people at work, engineers, people of education, people of pleasure who don't believe in Christ the way I do. We need to have a firm foundation. We need to just stand firm. And God can do all this through His grace. And so that's why this morning the big idea is this. As we talk about prayer, I want you to understand worship-based, scripture-fed prayer always results in God-glorifying, life-changing spiritual growth. That's the big idea for this morning. What we want to do as a church is we want to launch a full-out attack against selfish, simplistic, list-based prayer. Now, what do I mean by that? I said it last week, and I need to repeat it again. A lot of us, the only way we've been taught to pray is that we have a grocery list, and when we bow our heads to pray, we pray to God saying, God, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do this. You go to a prayer meeting, and let's say that the prayer meeting is an hour long, or whatever length it is, quite often the majority of the time is not spent in prayer, it's spent in what? Taking prayer requests. And then, right at the end, maybe somebody will say a quick prayer, but then it's always usually list-based prayer. You know, we want to pray for this person, we want to pray for this ailment, we want to pray for this situation. But notice this. What we see in Scripture is worship-based. The purpose of prayer is it's an act of worship. When was the worship in our service this morning? Get ready to be embarrassed. Ready? Okay, just say it. Just go ahead. When was the worship in our service this morning? Most people would say what? It was when we sang. No. The worship began when you got out of bed this morning. The worship began Saturday evening when you began to prepare your heart to come to church. I'm praying, I'm hoping that for the person who led to Steve this morning, Steve, when did the worship begin for you? It began days ago, as he prayed over, what songs will we do this morning? As he began to practice those songs, I prayed that for him it wasn't just singing a song. Oh, I'm at church. Singing a song. You know, hallelujah. No, see, the whole thing is that worship begins. It begins in the heart. It begins. This is why the Sabbath in the Old Testament began. It begins at dusk the night before. Worship should begin before you arrive. It should begin when you get up in the morning. It should be the desire of your heart. I am worshiping God, and when you step into the house of God, now you're worshiping with the brothers and sisters that you have in Christ, and worship is beginning. And so then we worship through song, but then we also worship through the teaching of the Word. At the end of the service, then we worship through our acts of tithing and giving an offering. And prayer as well is an act of worship. Unless you view prayer as worship-based, as an act of worship, you will simply view God as a slot machine or an ATM machine. Why do you believe in God? Because He's the one I go to when I need something. No, no. And then Scripture-fed, worship-based, Scripture-fed. I believe that the greatest source, you've heard me say this for years and years and years, if you want to deepen your prayer life, if you're a baby Christian, if you're young in the Lord, if you're young in your prayer life, start with the Psalms. Just start with Psalm 1 and start praying the Psalms back to God. Because worship-based, scripture-fed prayer will always result in God-glorifying, life-changing spiritual growth. That's what we want to hammer away at. Last week, we used the Lord's Prayer. And what we said last week is that there are four aspects. Now, there's different ways to say it, but I like to do it. Okay, this is what? Say it with me. Okay, upward, downward, inward, and outward. Those are the four aspects of worship-based, scripture-fed prayer. Now, somebody would say to me, well, Mike, where do we see this in Scripture? And I would say, well, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. And it's called the Lord's Prayer traditionally. Really, it's the model prayer. And of all the things that the disciples did, Jesus, we need you to help us with something. And Jesus goes, what? What can I help you with? Oh, can you help us learn how to change the oil in our car? No. I got something better. Okay, will you teach us how to preach? Nope, not going to teach how to preach. Will you teach us how to do this or that? Nope. They come to Jesus, and what do they say? They say, Jesus, teach us how to what? Pray. And Jesus goes through, and you can do this with me, and we'll do it in the old English style, and you'll have to help me here because I get fuzzy sometimes. But upward, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All right? So do it with me. Come on. You can do it. I know you can. Where's his direction? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice that the purpose of his worship-based, scripture-fed prayer is upward. You could go on and on. There's so many places in Scripture where you find who God is. There's so many ways that God is described. But our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now notice the downward focus. What is it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Jesus is giving us the model prayer. He says, when you pray, pray like this. And he says that your focus should be upward. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then it should be downward. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now notice that it's not wrong to pray inwardly. But if your whole life is focused on the inward, you will not be who God wants you to be. But notice that it's not wrong to pray inwardly and to ask God for, because what's the next part of the prayer? Give us this day our what? Our daily bread. And what's the next part? So that's a physical, tangible thing, but what's the next part of the prayer? Okay, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Notice there's a spiritual aspect here. How many of your prayers, you know, you don't pray upward, you don't pray downward, you do pray inward, but your focus is always on the what? The physical, the tangible. That bill that needs to be paid, that sickness that needs to be corrected, whatever, whatever, whatever. If you think about it, it's all physical, tangible stuff. How often is your inward focus on the spiritual? And forgive us our debts as we forgive those. Okay, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Notice the desire here. And then notice the outward. And lead us not into, as I go now, as we go now into the world, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice that there's an upward, a downward, an inward, and an outward aspect to prayer. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. He did not teach us to only say that prayer. He said, but when you pray, pray like this. And when you open up the Word of God, you begin to realize, it's like, wow, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. What direction is that? Upward. And you suddenly realize that there's a downward focus, and there's an inward focus, and there's an outward focus. But I'm going to do one better this week. Mike, if Jesus taught this form of prayer, if he taught worship-based, scripture-fed prayer, then surely you can show me in Scripture that it was done by his disciples, those who followed him. And I would say, you betcha. Don't you know? Look at this. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. Turn with me there. The apostles, they've been arrested. They've been interrogated. One of the interesting things in Acts chapter 4 that they say that these men were unlearned men, unschooled men, and yet they were responding with boldness and with passion. And it says that they took note that they had been with Jesus, that their relationship with Christ, they had grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were following his commandment to go and make disciples. They were passionate about what they believed. And even though they were threatened, they still made the choice to follow God instead of men. And in Acts chapter 4, notice verse 23. Turn in your Bible there. Hold your Bible in your hands and read along with me. Notice verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Now notice verse 24. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. What's that called when we lift our voices together to God? What's our word for that? They prayed. And notice the prayer that they prayed. Sovereign Lord, what direction is their focus on? Notice this. Number one, upward reverence. Verses 24 to 26. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Who through the mouth... Oh, that's just verse 24, right? So do I have 24, 26? Okay. Who through the mouth of our father David. So notice what they do. Notice the focus. Sovereign Lord. How much time can you spend in prayer meditating on the sovereignty of God? A lot. How much time can you spend meditating on the fact that he is the Lord, that he's the master? How much time can you praise him for his sovereignty? Praise him for being Lord. Now notice this. Who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them? How often do you thank God that he is in control of all things? Notice who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, when have you ever taken a promise that God has given that talks about who he is? And just spent time meditating, praying over it. Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Notice the upward focus. God, you are sovereign. God, you are Lord. God, you are the creator. God, men try to stop you. Men try to prevent you. Men try to destroy you. Ha, ha, ha. God wants us to worship him. He wants us to feed our prayers from Scripture. And he wants us first and foremost to have an upward focus that we might revere God and fear him and worship him. Notice this. Notice the downward response, verses 27, 28. For truly in this city, how do we know it's downward? Well, what else can it be? Sovereign Lord, you created the heavens and the earth. And now in verse 27, suddenly he says, hey, in this city, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Notice the downward response. Because you are sovereign, Lord, because you are the creator, because you are in control, when I look at what they did to Jesus, wow. Hold on here. When I look at what they did to your Messiah, your Savior, it was whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. When you worship God and your focus is upward and you understand that he is the caring God, give me some descriptions of God. Just go ahead, not too loud, but just, you know, give me some descriptions of God.
Holy.
Holy. Just. What else? Jealous. How about loving? Okay, how about for you, if you were hurting emotionally, what are some things about God you'd like to know? Caring? Merciful? Compassionate? See, when you meditate and you have an upward focus in your prayer, suddenly when you start to look downward, you know, God, I'm going through unemployment. I'm going through a health struggle. I'm going through a difficulty in my family, in my relationships with a child. Suddenly, because God is caring and loving and just and merciful and all that wonderful stuff you said, what does that do to your perspective on what is happening in life? Upward reverence. Downward. How do you respond to who God is based on what you're going through? Notice this. Inward request. Yes, they prayed for certain things. But notice how it was shaped by their worship. Notice how it was based upon what they'd read in Scripture. Notice this, verse 29. And now, Lord, that's pretty cool talk. But they earned that. They didn't just come to God and say, oh God, I never get anything from you. But notice this. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Notice that suddenly their inward focus on what they want, God, I hope you can provide for us to go on a better vacation this year. God, I hope that this week, you know, I'll have, you know, more money to spend on eating out. Notice this. After they looked at the sovereignty of God, after they looked at the control that God has over all kingdoms, all people, after they realized that even the suffering of Jesus was in the will and plan of God, notice their request. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Wow. That's a prayer meeting. Now notice the outward readiness, we call it. It's like, well, okay, I just prayed. I just worship God. I just reminded myself in Scripture of who God is and what He wants to do through me. I just ask Him to do something inward. Well, what's the outward response? Well, notice this. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. In other words, if you're going to pray for God to give you the ability to forgive someone, then you need to get up off your knees and go ask for what? Forgiveness. If you're praying for your neighbors to come to Christ, then the last part of prayer is that after you pray for your neighbor to come to Christ, you need to get up off your knees and go and do what? Share Christ with them. There needs to be an outward. You need to go and ask for forgiveness. You need to go and give forgiveness. You need to go and be a difference and be a servant and be a sharer, a witness for Christ. I guess the thing I like about verse 31 is this. When they had prayed, I like that. I like praying together. And then it says the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. You know, I pray every Sunday morning, I pray every week that we would have earth-shaking, window-rattling, Christ-exalting worship. I just want to show up. All I want to do, when I come to church, all I want to do is come to the throne. Just bring me to the throne. Just bring me there. Let me see Jesus high and lifted up. Let me worship the Lord. But notice that this same attitude needs to be seen in prayer. I want to pray with people who set aside agendas and who want to see earth-shaking, window-rattling, life-changing, Christ-exalting prayer. Because notice what happens. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not salvation. This is a yielding to the desire of the Spirit. And notice the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. It's speaking the Word of God with boldness. Maybe that's why we don't see this valley transformed for Christ. Where are the prayers for boldness? We want good things. We want children that love the Lord. We want to have things that we might enjoy life. We pray good prayers, but maybe God is calling us to pray great prayers. That's why it's called a great commission. That's why Jesus called them the great commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength. To love others as you would have them love you. That's a great prayer. The great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. That's a great prayer. And maybe that's what Jesus wants us to do. And that's why when we look at this, the model for prayer, that we need to change our lives. We need to change the way we pray. We need to get away from this, bow our head and simply say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. We need to get back to worship-based, scripture-fed prayer. Because it always results in earth-shaking, life-changing spiritual growth. Upward, focusing on God. Downward, God, if this is who you are, this is what I want to see. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, I want to see your will accomplished. God, I want to see us make a difference in our community, in our neighborhood, in our city. God, I want to see people come to Christ. And that means that then when we pray inwardly, God, if this is going to happen, I guess I got to stop thinking about me and start asking you to do a work. And then we need to go out and do it. That's why 2 Peter 3:18 says this, grow in the grace, grow. You want to grow your prayer life? Upward, downward, inward, outward. You want to grow spiritually? Upward, downward, inward, outward. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you want to glorify God? Upward, downward, inward, outward. And you want to have the strength to do it? Well, notice this. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, that you might then live that type of upward, downward, inward, outward life. That's what it's all about. Opening up. Start with the Psalms. Start with Psalm 1. And just pray, God, this is the kind of person I want to be. Go to Psalm 23 and just worship God. Go to Psalm 91, Psalm 103. You can go to any psalm in the Bible and you will find that you can pray upward, downward, inward, outward. Now, it may not be in that order. It may start with inward, but it may start with outward. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then it goes through these benefits. But then it talks about the Lord is compassionate and gracious. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has separated our sin from us. It just goes through a beautiful upward, downward, inward, outward expression of faith. And when you start to pray scripture, you suddenly realize, wow, wow. Let's pray.